Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lori and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Well, it's a little cloudy this morning looking through the window of baseball, but the sun is out here at Scottsdale, and we bring in Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you today?
Doing well, Marty. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm watching Chase Darnot take some ground balls at short. And, Bruce, you're such a, you know, have such a great musical background through your dad and everything else. When you hear Chase Darnot, he is a musician. He's got a band, and I did an interview with him for about 12 minutes. I think 8 minutes was about music.
Well, that's always a good thing when you can venture into new territory instead of balls and strikes and pop flies. But yeah, I wasn't aware of that, but I read a little bit about it. But good for him. You know, maybe he'll have something to turn to whenever his career ends.
Yeah, and he's a great. He's one of those guys when you interview him. And I'm going to try to play it probably next week. You know, you talk to him and you ask one question, and that's, you know, I'll see you later. So that was it. You know, boy, nice to see people at the ballpark. One of the great homicide inspectors of all time, Frank Falzone, is here today. They just brought his card up. Boy, you never know who I'm going
to
see here.
With Frank Malzone.
Yeah. Well, Frank Malzone, Frank Falzone, two stars, believe me.
Absolutely.
Hey, you never know what you're going to see at the ballpark, and I love chatting with you, and I'm looking out to my right. And there's your colleague, who we really had fun with, Henry and you together on the air yesterday.
Yeah, that was good.
There's Henry talking to A-Rod.
Yeah.
How about that? What's A-Rod doing here? I mean, there's no Sunday night game here, but he's down on the field, and there's Henry talking to A-Rod. How about that?
That's a good pairing. Yeah, A-Rod landed that Sunday night gig. He's been, I think most people find, you know, surprisingly good on television. He was good for Fox last year in the playoffs, and that earned him this gig on the Sunday night. But, you know, he's got an awful lot of baggage, but he's still an interesting guy. He saw and did a lot of things, and he seems to be a welcome addition.
Yeah, how do you explain baseball sort of opening their arms and bringing him back in? And, you know, with Manfred, you know, there's always the demographic and all this kind of stuff. Is he a pop star? Is he Jennifer Lopez? Is he that star that they can market to the demographic they're looking for?
Well, I guess to a degree. I mean, he's obviously a really good-looking guy. He's had trysts, shall we say, or soirees with a lot of well-known actresses and musicians. And, you know, I guess he is. I mean, he's a complicated guy. It's tough to answer an A-Rod question in a short time. But he has a certain charm,
yeah,
that comes through, even through all of his indiscretions and whatever people hold against him from the drug angle and everything. He always comes across as a guy with something to say, and you don't really turn off the set.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's almost like looking at the car crash. You know, you just, you know, you want to see it. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But he's here today. You know, you never know who you're going to see at the ballpark. Willie McCovey, of course, is here today as well. And then now I'm looking to my left, and there's Chris Haft talking to Darrell Evans.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, if Ted Williams shows up, let me know. That'll be a real scoop.
No, Billy Williams may, but not
Ted. Yeah.
I don't think that. Or Charlie Williams could be. You could see
Charlie
that.
Fox.
Yeah. Charlie Gerringer.
Yeah, we could go on this one.
We could. Bruce, we could go on for this thing. But, you know, Darrell Evans is here, and it made me think of him. You know, Bruce, when you look at the teams, you know, when Darrell Evans was here, he figured out how to pull the ball down right field at Candlestick. He was a very effective Giant.
Yeah, and, you know, they would do well to find another guy like that. You know, it's obviously a daunting prospect to hit one out over that arcade, but if you do go down the line, it's certainly not impossible. You know, Barry Bonds mastered it, but nobody's going to be Bonds. But, you know, a really dead pull hitter from the left-handed side, I think, would not be so terribly exasperated at that park. There aren't many. You know, a guy like Chris Davis for Baltimore, I think, would love it. You know.
Well, I always thought Adam Dunn. You're right. A dead pull hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his job. So, you know, Belt is that. Well, I guess Belt is sort of a gap-to-gap guy. But Belt has turned into, I think, mentally, I think when he gets his pitch inside, he wants to hit it out.
Yeah, and you'll see him do that, and you go, oh, man, this is he's going to hit 30 this year. And then, right. You know, things kind of turn sour, and he'll go into one of his slumps. You might not see it for a while. But, yeah, he's a guy who really needs to go the opposite way, especially because of the way teams are shifting against him. So, and that's kind of the bane of all Deadpool hitters today, is that the shifts are so drastic. It takes a certain amount of cojones to go up there and just, well, I'm just going to pull the ball anyway. You know, watch this. And yeah. In Belt's case, he serves himself well going to the opposite field, so that plays into it also.
Yeah, he does, and he's not afraid to do that. And they do pitch him away, high and away, and he swings through that pitch a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Well, one last thing before we leave Darrell Evans, as we're talking about pull hitters. he became a Giant, and there was a very big transition to get him in the lineup. For folks who don't remember, this is the late 70s. Darrell Evans came up and third baseman, and he was now a Giant. He came over from the Braves, but Bill Madlock had to go to second base. Remember, they put Bill Madlock at second mm-hmm. to get Darrell Evans in the lineup, and Willie McCovey was the one who orchestrated that, and Spire wouldn't do it. And I remember, I think Spire then got traded for Tim Foley, and Madlock ended up at second base, who was really a third baseman.
Yeah, it sounds better in retrospect than it actually was. I mean, the team, wasn't close to good. I mean, Bill Madlock had been really a legendary hitter in Pittsburgh, batting champion. Darrell Evans had cleared the 40-homer mark in Atlanta, and they had these guys, and they're shifting them around. And there were some moments, but overall, it was just maybe a little bit late for both of them. I will say Darrell Evans definitely had a better stint with the Giants than Madlock. We can talk about John Tamargo while we're at it.
Yeah, no, big opening day home run.
Yeah.
Big opening day home run for him. The other thing, Gabe Kapler, getting more modern here. He's the manager of the Phillies. And the Phillies are getting very analytical. They're starting to do all sorts of things. So Gabe Kapler now, of course, everyone employs the shift. And that we've seen the shift. And the shift was around for years. It just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
People have been doing it. But now what Gabe Kapler is doing with the Phillies, when you get, let's say, a dead pull hitter, and they're going to put the best defender in right field and put the right fielder in left field. And then if they're vice versa, you get the dead pull hitter to left field, they're going to put the right fielder out there and then switch him around. So that's the latest thing people are doing.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see about the longevity of that. Kapler is an interesting guy. He's got all kinds of innovative ideas, and he's an interesting character. He's like a full-on bodybuilder, and he's been this big proponent of nutrition and some really throwing out some crazy ideas over the years. I read a piece on him. People should Google Gabe Kapler and check out some of the stuff that the Phillies are getting into when they hire this guy. But it's interesting. I mean, I'm always interested to see how new things work. And that sounds a little that sounds like a temporary solution to me, but we'll see.
Well, it's been done before. You got to go back. I think, the 50s, they probably did this at some point. And I'm going to give you two names as long as we're doing this today. Remember Woody Held and Granny Hamner?
Yeah, from the Indians, an infielder, yeah.
Yeah, Granny Hamner.
And yeah,
Joe Gordon was
second baseman.
Yeah, believe it or not, Joe Gordon was the manager of the Cleveland Indians in 1959. He eventually got traded. The manager got traded for Jimmy Dykes, another manager for the Tigers. Which, how insane was that?
Yeah.
But what he did was, and if you look in the box score in June of 59, and I read this today, Hamner and Held, second base and short, switched positions like 17 times in the game, depending on who was coming up. So the thing about baseball, everything has been tried. It's somewhere along the way. No one invented anything today.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
I think it was Keith Olbermann looked it up and said that there were shifts in like the 19th century.
Yeah, no,
not
really.
The 20th,
it's
the 19th,
true.
It's
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So, the other thing is, the pitcher who's pitching, and now you bring up, let's say, a lefty is pitching and you bring up a righty, you put the pitcher at third base. Bring in a right-handed pitcher, take him out, and put the lefty back on the mound. That's been done before. And I'll guarantee you we're going to see that at some point.
Yeah, I always liked it when they do stuff with pitchers. You know, now people are so paranoid about pitchers getting hurt that they don't even like them running the bases, you know, or sliding or doing any baseball-like things. But so when that kind of thing, you know, and Madison Bumgarner's a guy, he'd be up for anything. He'd go out to center field and then come back and pitch, you know, if they asked him.
Yeah, the analytical thing, I'm telling you, the analytical thing is going to make all sorts of crazy things happen on the field. It's coming. I believe it. I really do.
Well, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it is. In fact, you'll be at the game watching it, and all of a sudden, you're right. Bumgarner will be playing first base.
Yeah.
And, you know,
who knows what the Angels are going to do with Ohtani? I mean, he runs like the wind, and he can do an awful lot of things. He's struggling right now just to prove himself as a pitcher. But, you know, if he actually comes on as a guy who can play the field, you can imagine all kind of crazy things Socha might come up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, baseball loves it, and it's going to happen. And the analytical thing is behind it to get the best advantage, and that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
One last thought for you. Ty Block goes today. And, Bruce, this is a guy, he just takes the ball. It's his mound, and he throws. He's not afraid of anything. Really a pitch-to-contact kind of guy. I guess that's the word they use for him because he doesn't have a lot of strikeouts. But I can see him pitching against the Dodgers twice in the first seven games against the Dodgers, and not Stratton. But didn't Block handle the Dodgers last year? I thought he did. Remember, he handled the Dodgers fairly well.
Whoops, yeah, I think he pitched and won at least seven in a great outing against the Dodgers. But, yeah, I like how Block and Stratton have really taken hold of those rotation spots. It seems like it's almost locked in now.
Yeah.
And I like that there's not a lot of confusion there, which I'm sure those two guys are delighted with. You know, Suarez and Beattie are falling behind. And I think from the beginning, Bochy wanted it to be Stratton and Block. And they're totally different pitchers, which is great. Different look every night with this team for sure. When you talk about Cueto and Samardzija and Bumgarner I just think that, you know, the rotation seems like it's settling in pretty nicely.
Yeah, it is. This will be a good week for Cueto, too, as he extends a little bit more as well. Hey,
mm-hmm.
Great to talk to you. That was good. Granny Hamner, we worked him in, and John Tamargo.
Woody point. Held and Hamner. And later they went out with their girlfriends and held each other's Hamners.
Granville Hamner. Right. Okay. All right, Bruce, a pleasure as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Marty. Bye-bye.
All right, very good. That's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Boy, do we have fun. That's what Sunday baseball is all about.